Welcome to this Good Friday service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Welcome to our Good Friday worship. A cradle and a cross, and between these a life, Bethlehem and Jerusalem, a birth and a death. One of sorrows who often wept, one of joy who also kept sensitivity and compassion alive and real. Today let us feel the surge of that life, the beauty of that love, the power of that cross. Our first hymn, There Is a Green Hill Far Away. Let us pray. This is the day when life is raw, quivering, terrifying. The day of numbed emotions. The day of blunt nails and splintered wood, of bruised flesh and red blood. The day we loathe when hopes are crushed. The day we long for when pretences fall away. Because the worst that we can do cannot kill the love of God. Gracious God, your love is a light in our darkness, vulnerable yet unquenchable. We would stand with Christ in the midst of the horrors of this world, where betrayal and death constantly threaten your love and peace. Amen.
Mark 15, verses 16 to 32. The soldiers took Jesus inside to the courtyard of the governor's palace and called together the rest of the company. They put a purple robe on Jesus, made a crown out of thorny branches, and put it on his head. Then they began to salute him. Long live the King of the Jews! They beat him over the head with a stick, spat on him, fell on their knees, and bowed down to him. When they had finished mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. On the way, they met a man named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country, and the soldiers forced them to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was from Cyrene and was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They took Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they tried to give him wine mixed with a drug called myrrh, but Jesus would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes among themselves, throwing dice to see who would get which piece of clothing. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The notice of accusation against him said, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus. "Aha! You were going to tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days. Now come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law jeered at Jesus, saying to each other, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let us see the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." And the two who were crucified with Jesus insulted him also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was on the Friday that they ended it all. Of course, they didn't do it one by one. They weren't brave enough. All the stones at the one time, or no stones at all. They did it in crowds. In crowds where you can feel safe and lose yourself, and shout things you would never shout on your own, and do things you would never do if you felt the camera was watching you. It was a crowd in the church that did it, and a crowd in the civil service that did it, and a crowd in the street that did it, and a crowd on the hill that did it. And he said nothing. He took the insults, the bruises, the spit on his face, the things on his back, the curses in the ears. He took the sight of his friends turning away, running away. And he said nothing. He let them do their worst until their worst was done. As on Friday, they ended it all. And would have finished themselves, had he not cried, "Father, forgive them," and began the revolution. Let us pray. What part of ourselves is found in the shadow of the mob that streamed to Calvary? What part of ourselves creates nails in other forms that wound our brothers and sisters and our God? Complicity, apathy, guilt oppress us and stifle our joy. Let us bring our sins to God in genuine repentance and discover what God will do for us. Loving Father, we remember today all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We recall his sacrifice upon the cross and confess with wonder that it was our God who died on Calvary. We can neither earn nor deserve all that was done for us that day. We can but recall, search ourselves, and offer ourselves in penitence and faith. We ask your forgiveness now, that the judgment we deserve may be tempered by the grace and self-giving of Calvary, by your love, ceaseless, unexhausted, unmerited, and free, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is written, "While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not understand what they do." We need not live in perpetual remorse for sins, but should leave behind those old weights and guilts and press on. For God is able to bring good out of evil and joy out of sorrow. By the cross of Christ we are a redeemed people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
The second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 to 41. The death of Jesus. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Thanks be to God.
Of all the agony of that torturous day, the lacerations of the scourging, the chafing of the thorns around his head, the convulsions of his tormented, dehydrated body as it hung in the heat all the day, nothing reaches the depth of this anguished cry of desolation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus, who found his purpose and strength in the presence of God, who was sustained by the immediacy of his relationship with God, and who endured all by the tangible power of God always at work within him, always a centre of vitality and peace, found himself totally alone on the cross. Jesus, whose very being was God, found himself utterly, absolutely, despairingly cut off from all that gives life and breath, cut off from all that gives purpose and hope, cut off from the source of his being, cut off even from himself, plumbing the depths of the human condition, to walk in the place of the utter absence of God, in the place of sinners, in the place of those who reject God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In these words is the central mystery of the crucifixion which cannot be fully comprehended, that there is no despair so deep or evil so overwhelming or place so far removed from joy, light and love from the very heart of God that God has not been before us, and where God cannot meet us and bring us home. Let us pray. When Jesus died, a number of women were present, watching from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee and looked after him. Among them were Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of the sons of Zebedee and Salome. These women had all followed him, as had many others who had come to Jerusalem with him. There was also his own mother, Mary, who had borne him and who watched him die. And with them we might remember other women, like Joanna, Martha, Susanna, who had followed him, fed him, and tried to keep faithful to him until the end. He had always loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Let us pray. Let us, in kindness and gratitude, remember and name before God women of today who serve Jesus or who long for his salvation. And let us remember and name those women who, for whatever reason, keep far from Christ. When Jesus died, a number of men were present, beside the disciples who stood at a distance. There was Simon of Cyrene, who had been ordered to help carry Jesus' cross. There was Nicodemus, the man who had visited Jesus by night, who came this time with more than 50 pounds of myrrh and aloes in order to embalm Jesus' body. There was Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man who, when evening fell, approached Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it, wrapped it in a clean linen sheet, and laid it in an unused tomb which had been cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a large stone against the entrance. And with them we might remember other men, like Zacchaeus, Lazarus, Levi, who followed him, cared for him, and tried to keep faithful until the end. He had always loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Let us pray. Let us, in kindness and gratitude, remember and name before God men of today who serve Jesus or who long for his salvation. And let us remember and name those men who, for whatever reason, keep far from Christ. When Jesus died, a number of nations were present. Pilate had an inscription written and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And a Roman centurion was summoned by Pilate to testify that Jesus was indeed dead. And with these nations and peoples, the Jews, the Greeks, the Romans, we might remember others, like the Samaritans, for all of whom Jesus came in order that the world might be saved. He had always loved his own, who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Let us pray. Let us, in kindness and gratitude, remember and name before God the nations and peoples of today for whom Jesus died, and pray for their peace. Jesus came into the world, not to condemn, but to save. May their eyes and our eyes see that salvation. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus gave to his followers in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Think again of the people who were present at the cross, what part they played. The scribes, Pharisees, and Jewish leaders taunting Jesus on the cross, convinced that here was an impostor threatening their position and safety. And yet some of them convinced that they were in the right protecting their God. The bystanders, caught up in the emotion and pressure of the crowd, bowing to the majority whim, manipulated by others, scared to stand against them. The soldiers, obeying orders, doing their duty, hardened to the suffering they saw, ignoring what may be different or difficult. The bandits, with Jesus on their crosses, guilty of their own crimes, one conscious of his failings and aware of who was with him, the other seeking only an escape from the consequences of his actions, no awareness of who suffered with him. and those who cared, the women who watched and waited, the disciple John, to whom the care of Jesus' mother was entrusted. Others too, perhaps, who had followed Jesus and now watched from nearby or at a distance, afraid, perhaps, anxious, no doubt. And those, like Joseph of Arimathea, anxious to do what they can for the one they had become so attached to. Where do we find ourselves amongst these? Where would we be? With honesty, without the perfect vision of hindsight, where would we truly be? Our last hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Blessed by the great love of God, embraced by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, and sustained by the empowering love of the Holy Spirit. Amen.